T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Boys and girls, good morning. It is great to have you in on NFL Draft Thursday. Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley, Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game. The show's loaded from the rest of the way out. Huge news as it pertains to the number one overall pick. Going to be some time in the very near future for us to dive into the Raiders and their options at 24, as well as what just happened at ESPN and what it means for professional sports as a whole. Huge news that you cannot overlook that went down yesterday. But gentlemen, it's great to see you. It's going to be great to talk draft with you. The D-Train, Dontrell Willis, is coming up in a moment. So for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, the NFL draft first round is tonight, Joe. As you've been mentioning, all eyes on the Cleveland Browns, who will pick number one overall. Adam Schefter of ESPN indicating that the team likely will draft Mitchell Trubisky. But Mary Kay Cabot recently, via Twitter, she, of course, the Cleveland Browns reporter supreme, says Myles Garrett still the likely pick for the Browns at number one in the NFL draft. Stay tuned to 95.7 The Game to see which direction Cleveland goes. The Niners picking number two, the Raiders set at number 24, and of course, live draft coverage with Greg Papa, Joe Fortenbaugh, and Vontae Hill starting at 4 right here on 95.7 The Game. Story number two, an inspiring Giants victory. The rookie, Christian Arroyo, first career home run, and then a veteran came through as well.
That's hit well. That's hit deep. Adios! It's tied up! Well, is that a blast from the past? Does that remind you of Game 5 of the League Championship Series against the Cardinals?
John Miller, the call, NBC Bay Area, 4-3. They beat the Dodgers. The finale in the series today, Matt Moore against Julio Urias. Story number three, a costly one for the A's. They lose in Anaheim 8-5, but Sean Manaea had to leave the game with shoulder tightness. Bob Melvin, an update.
You know what, as of right now, I have not been told anything as far as what procedure we're going to go through, but you know, the velo was down at the very beginning of the game. We're looking at 88s and 89s, and that's not who he is. So went in, got checked out by the trainers, and like I said, just felt a little bit of tightness.
We'll update you on any news regarding Sean Manaea. Kendall Graveman comes off the DL and faces Ricky Nolasco, 7:05 tonight here on 95.7 The Game. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors, back on the floor either Sunday or Tuesday. That'll be determined tomorrow. Stay tuned for all your Warrior action right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. He's a two-time All-Star, not Dibs, our next guest, a World Series champion, Fox Sports and MLB analyst, and East Bay product himself, the D-Train, Dontrell Willis, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What's up, D-Train? How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Since it's the NFL draft today, we'll dive into some baseball in a minute, but Lo Neal was just telling us his draft story from back in the early 90s. I wanted to get your thoughts, because you came out as a young buck from the East Bay, 8th round, Chicago Cubs 2000. What was that moment like for you?
Well, one, I got to skip school, so that was pretty cool off the top of that. So right off the top, you know, so I had a bunch of friends able to cut school because the draft was in the morning. And it was actually very nerve-wracking just because, you know, your life's going to change. So it's a little different in the NFL draft because when they're drafted, they're automatically going to the team, the big club. But for me, you know, I was going into the minor leagues. But nevertheless, I was just excited to just be a professional. And, you know, my school was excited. The town of Alameda was very excited. We already had a product in Jimmy Rollins be able to get drafted, so I just wanted to follow the footsteps of Jimmy Rollins and just try to, you know, make everybody proud.
What was it like, Dontrell, in that process leading up to it? I happened to be at your final high school game, the NCS championship loss to Camp Lindo, when you homered and
How are you going to bring that up, man? I'm going to bring that up again on this show, man. Don't bring that up.
I got to open it up because after the game, I was interviewing you, and you were the most kind, respectful, polite young man, and then your mom came over, and I saw the relationship with your mom, and I thought, this young man's life is about to change, and then the draft comes up, and you know, you never know with baseball with so many rounds where you're going to go. What was it like wading through and then finally getting the call in that eighth round?
Oh, my goodness. It was just nerve-wracking and, you know, just talking to my agent right next to me. And, you know, we're at this time, they had AOL, so you had to stay off those phones and live and stay online. You didn't want to mess up the connection at that time. So as the rounds progressed, the Expos kind of, you know, faked me out. I thought I was going to get drafted in the sixth round. And then just the Cubs faithful just said, hey, we're going to take you. We like the way you hit the ball and throw the ball as well. So, you know, just to be able to just sit back and just see all the names go and you just wanted to see your name pop up, it's definitely very, very nerve-wracking, especially in baseball because they have so many rounds. But, again, once you get the call, it's just the weight's off your shoulders and you're just excited to just get to it and play the sport of choice.
D-Train, I couldn't agree with you more, man. I had teams tell me I'm going second, fourth, lost all that money. Millions football, y'all got that guaranteed though. But
yeah, that money come home and baseball.
Okay, bro. I ain't mad at you. But hey, peep game, man. Give a shout out to Alameda. I had worked out with some couple guys out there, and they were talking about you, and just they said how impactful your mother was. Tell us about your mom doing the whole process. Heard she played catch with you in the backyard. Is this stuff true? Tell me, kind of what kind of a mentor was she for you?
I mean, this is the hard work aspect of it. I mean, her being an iron worker, you know, I just saw her get up 5 a.m. every single day. So I was always this, hey, you know, if I'm able to be able to play baseball because of my mother and get all this cool gear from East Bay because of my mother, you're dang right, I'm going to go out there and play as hard as I could for her. So I already had that instilled, just the hard work ethic. And honestly, man, she's got one of the best smiles in the world. So, you know, I always wanted to make her proud. And you know what? She was my toughest, until this day, she's my toughest critic. You know, even when I was in the big league, she was talking about how to get out Chipper Jones, you know, at the Waffle House. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to talk to you about how I'm getting Chipper Jones out. Can't nobody get Chipper Jones out. But, you know, that's the type of woman she was. Always in tune with the game. You know, my family, they grew up, you know, miles away from Oakland Coliseum, so they definitely know the game. My grandma knows the game. So, you know, to be in that type of family atmosphere, you know, it was no choice to go out there and just be a baseball player and be the best baseball player I could. So my mom, I owe my whole career to.
Beautifully said. Well, World Series champ, two-time All-Star Dontrell Willis with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The Giants made the move the other night. They brought up the kid, Christian Arroyo. They also brought Michael Morse back into the fold last night. A shot of adrenaline from the young Arroyo. You know, that's a big moment at 21 years of age to come up to the big club. And not only that, with the history the Giants have, added to the fact that the fans have been looking to him to hopefully save this season, how do you think he's handled the pressure so far?
Well, he's handled it well. Hasn't really swung the bat as well as he'd wanted to, but I like his passes in the box. He doesn't seem overmatched, and that's the one that I'm watching. He impressed me last night, slider down and away, and he hit that ball kind of Buster Posey-esque, so, you know, in the gap. So I'm definitely a fan of him. He just needs to continue to get his season. And just, you know, it's not easy, and I don't think fans understand just the big league life. You know, you come from the minor leagues, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you have to do everything on your own as a 21-year-old. And most 21-year-olds are in college, you know, sophomore or junior in college, you know, messing up their dorms. And now you're a professional. So just the mental aspect of just learning how to play, especially in a big market like San Francisco, where, you know, there's some pedigree there. So I think he's done fine. I think he's going to be fine. I like what I see from him as far as his mechanics swing-wise. It's just about getting reps and getting settled in the big leagues.
It's good that he's in a place with such an adoring fan base that's going to give him every possibility to support him. Dontrell, what about Matt Cain and his quick start to this year? How surprised are you that he's been able to turn back the clock when they needed it most?
I mean, he's huge right now. We've talked about him on this show, and I tell you what, man, and I'm going to keep saying it, when he got that standing ovation a couple weeks ago, I saw it in his eyes, and, you know, he says, hey, I'm the man here, you know, I bring a lot of pedigree to this, and I've helped win some titles, and it could be a shot in your arm, you know what I mean, especially for a veteran guy that's, you know, quote-unquote overlooked in that rotation. He's able to pitch, and kind of pitch under the radar, which is kind of an oxymoron saying that, playing that in San Francisco, but right now, I think the fans as well as the staff didn't really expect a lot from him, and he's just playing off that and pitching with a chip in his shoulder and really learning how to pitch with his stuff that he has now. So I'm really, really impressed, really proud for Matt Cain, because without him, they'd be really, really in the depths right now.
Dontrell Willis with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Boston and Baltimore got into it over the weekend. Manny Machado with the slide into Pedroia, and then it boils over the next night as Matt Barnes picks up a 4-game suspension for throwing behind Machado. What did you think of the slide, the retaliation? Just your thoughts generally on that situation.
The whole thing was a mess, and that's why it played out like that for Rafael. I think he misread that. I think it was a bang-bang play. We actually talked about that on my show, Whip Around on Fox. And I think Machado, as he should, went in hard. You know, sliding's not easy. And this two of the stars just, you know, got tangled up. And I don't even think Pedroia thought it was intentional. He came out and said that. But then, you know, to miss a guy that many times, you know, you take one shot at the guy. If you miss him, you move on and you try to get him out. And then the throw at his head, that's a no-no in the big leagues. You know what I mean? I've seen guys get hit in the head. I've never personally done that. And it's a scary moment because you definitely don't want to end anybody's career or hurt them. So that's definitely a no-no. So this, the whole situation was played out wrong. Even Pedroia telling Machado across the diamond, which I've never seen in my whole career, saying that didn't come from me, because you don't do that to your team, especially when they're trying to protect you for you being hurt. So just the whole ordeal looked bad, and hopefully the next time they handle that a little bit better and just understand that guys need to play the game hard.
Awesome stuff. Two-time All-Star, World Series champ, Fox Sports and MLB analyst. Follow him on Twitter @DTrainMLB. It's Dontrell Willis with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. D-Train, thank you for your time. That was a terrific interview. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
No problem, fellas. Have a good day.
Dontrell Willis.
Good interview right there.
Great kid. And I'm telling you, Joe, I will remember that day for as long as I live. I was working for a national high school sports website. I just happened to go out and cover that game. I'd never met the young man before. He pitched a complete game, hit a bomb about 400 feet. They lose a heartbreaker, and they lose the title, the North Coast section title. And he's just so gracious and polite and friendly. Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for interviewing me. I'm like, this kid can't be for real. Then you do a little more research, and you find out he is the real deal. Great kid. Happy to see him drafted, and he had a nice little career.
How quickly after that game ended did you interview him?
Probably about 20 minutes after, maybe 15.
So it's still pretty fresh, that defeat. And for a young guy, that could take some time to get over.
Especially when you're Encinal, which is the hard scrabble side of Alameda. It's, you know, the side by the Navy base. And, you know, Encinal doesn't get a lot of chances to win championships. Camp Olindo through the tunnel, richer school, more expecting to win the title. So it was the underdog Encinal team basically being carried by this one guy, and they fell just a little bit short.
How'd the interview go from your perspective? Any incidents with fingers or toes or anything like that?
No, it was pretty good. It was just
Am I allowed to bring that up?
Oh, of course you
can. Because you laugh at it, and I always find it funny because you've kind of opened the door to it. Because I have mistakes like that, too, in my career, and you just look at it, and what else can you do but laugh?
Yeah, I haven't really gotten much TV work since, so it gets less and less funny the more I think about it. But other than doing Melvin's games at SF State, which I love, but I haven't been asked back to do the state bowl games since I asked the coach if he was going to win one for the thumb, and he said, no, I only have four fingers.
Wow. What are the odds of that low? Think about that for a second. One for the thumb is just it's a common phrase. It's something
expression
you would use for the title.
Really?
It's one for the thumb.
Oh, yeah. They'd won four straight. I said, so, coach, final question. Guess this makes you all poised to come back and win one for the thumb. And he goes, well, I don't think so.
And
I only got four fingers.
And he put his hand up?
And he holds it up. And you see me in slow motion look
away?
At it.
Want to get away?
Totally, coach. I looked at his hand. I look at the camera. I look at his hand. I look at the camera. And I go, well, Steve, back to you. I think I've done all I can do here.
I believe we have the audio of that.
Oh,
let's go
God.
Ahead and play it.
Please. Please, no. Coach, congratulations. And I guess if things go your way, we'll see you back here. One for the thumb, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't need one. I only got four fingers, so I'm good.
Oh, my Dibs, you did.
Back to you, Steve. All right, Dibs. You can go ahead and show yourself out.
What did Steve do with that?
I think it's Steve Quist, first of all, Southern California guy who I had just met. He's like, whoa, there's one you don't see every day. There's one for YouTube.
Bring that. We needed that coach on the show. Okay, what did up your boss?
I'll show you.
You see
video
how excited Lowe is right now? You see how excited he is by this?
What did the boss do, bro? What happened?
You could hear the laughter in the background of the truck. The place just fell out, and it's like, what are you going to do? You move on, and then, now they call Kate Scott for that job. So there you go. There you have it. Your boy's home now in December.
I'm sorry, man.
It's all good. It's the life we chose, right? Live TV, live radio. You're going to put your foot in your mouth.
Yeah, it happens.
You just, you eat a little shoe and then you move on.
The beauty of it is that you can look back and laugh and make jokes about it like that.
Yeah.
That's what makes it funny for all of us mostly, but it's great to see that you laugh at it as well. Like the situation, some of the best stuff you come across on TV will be like the Chris Berman behind the scenes, like when Boomer just loses his mind. I love that. I've watched that hundreds of times when he said it, because I could see myself doing it. When right before they go live,
oh, you can?
Everybody there is just, I know what you're trying to do.
I'm not.
But you've got him doing that. You've got O'Reilly flipping out on Fox News. I mean, those are just great moments. You look back, those guys were just completely angry dibs with the one for the thumb. I can just see myself doing that. That's the phrase you would use. What are the odds you're going to throw yourself in a situation where the guy doesn't have a thumb?
How red did you get? I want to see that because you must
have
just
more red did you get?
Thank you. Wasn't too embarrassed, because that's the kind of thing that I think is hilarious. But
yeah.
I researched probably 20 hours for all the games I did, but I didn't do any research on whether or not the coach had five fingers. So now I know when you do a game like that, and Anna, you've been a sideline reporter for a number of years now, you do so much research on the kids, the school, the everything. But now it's going to be how many digits for the coach?
Yeah, not to self now for the future.
That's right. Yep. Fingers and toes,
Thank you for that advice.
Fingers and toes.
We have multiple requests on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line to play the Dibs situation again. Dibs, would it be okay if
Let
we played it one
rip.
More time?
Let's go. I love it. Coach, congratulations. And I guess if things go your way, we'll see you back here. One for the thumb, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't need one. I only got four fingers, so I'm good.
There you have it.
That's classic.
You love it. You were sitting there. You've had a great day today. You've told some stories. You've reflected. You've interviewed. Lo Neal at his finest. Here, you've been chilling. You're talking to D-Train.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting ready to jump back into some draft. And then this comes up. You're on the edge of your seat. I don't think I've ever seen you more excited.
I love it. I love it when it's not me being the butt of the joke. I mean, this guy tells a guy, Coach, you got everything going well for yourself. No, just one for the thumb. Guy looks at him.
I don't need one. I only got four fingers, so I'm good.
I got something else for you, Lo. You want to keep laughing?
Yes.
Here's Anna.
Hisashi Iwakuma threw a no-hitter against the Orioles.
Hisashi Iwakuma, yep.
Now, I can also see myself totally botching that. What I love is you realize you've reached a certain point and you're like, I got to get out of here. And you're like, I'm just going Iwakuma. And you nail it, and then you go on to finish the update like a pro. But like you can sense the moment where you realize, I'm not getting this first name. I'm just going to go last name and I'm out of here.
It was one of those moments where you're sitting there, you just can't get the word out. And it's just like a brain fart, basically.
Yeah.
You just don't know how to get it out. And then all of a sudden, all right, I'm just going to go.
How do you feel about that, though?
Keep going.
Would you like to hear that one again?
Please,
I think
please.
The fans would like to hear that again, please. Go ahead.
You're not my friend anymore.
He's Iwakuma.
I sound like you're speaking in tongues, getting the Holy Ghost.
I'm surprised you didn't just go, epic, Iwakuma.
He's
on
sorry,
to the next one.
Iwakuma. I like that. That's very good.
I'm sorry.
I'm feeling better now. Thank you, Joe.
That's what we do here.
That's what we do here.
In good fun, if there's something on me back there, dig it up. Because if I'm going to poke fun at everyone else at some point, we should probably balance it out in here. So take your time. I'm sure there's something. Run it by me first, though. Let's make sure it's not too bad.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, good point. Take your time back there. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 the game. We've got Travis Schlenk, assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors, coming up at 8:45 today to talk about the next round of the playoffs. We've got more on the NFL draft at 8:30, but for right now, let's dive into the Raiders a little bit at pick 24. Interesting scenario for Reggie McKenzie and company, or should I say unique scenario, because the last 20 years, this team's found itself on the clock rather quickly. And now here we go at pick 24. You're actually sitting back chilling for a moment. So how do you see this position differing from the Raiders in the past? Because not so much last year with Carl Joseph in the middle rounds, but you've been at a point where Raider picks for years have been, we need a savior. We need a quarterback. We need a star wideout. We need something huge. This guy's going to change the fortunes. Now the mindset is we need a starter who can come in and help this team because this is a good team. We could put it over the top. You look around the draft, some of these prospects, where do you see the silver and black going at 24?
Well, Joe, I tell you one thing. Offense, defensive line last year for the Raiders didn't play well. They played atrocious, and they understand that. So everyone's talking about, oh, they got to get a D-line. I think they will later in the draft, but I think it's going to be linebacker. You need somebody that can run downhill and make tackles on a consistent basis. I think they're going to look at the linebacker position very, very seriously. And the kid from Alabama may be slipping a little bit or falling. If he's there, they got to jump on this guy. If he slips that far, you got to jump on him. If he's not there, then you probably look at a secondary, maybe a corner, slot corner, guy that can cover in the slot, be able to cover a little shifty receiver. So you look there too as well. But I'm telling you right now, this defense, I continue to tell you guys, this defense is going to be immensely better with John Pagano. He's going to have these guys fitting. You're not going to see the blown coverages. You're not going to see guys out of position as much. This guy has came in to be that defensive type of guru to kind of help Ken Norton mentor this defense and get them better. So I think it's going to be linebacker, and then I think it'll be corner. Linebacker and corner, that is going to be the pick. Could be the Alabama kid, like I said, because he's slipping, and it could be Peppers, that you're even though, you know, got some little things that's going on, he's still going to be there. Probably will be, I don't know if he's going to be there, but here's another guy in the secondary that can help you.
Hold on, I'm sorry. We have breaking news as it pertains to the draft. Let's go to Anna.
Giants 4-1 victory at AT&T thanks to a 3-run jack off of Brendan Hicks. Hate you.
Wow.
That was my first.
Anna, this is a family program.
Whoa, Anna.
3-run jack?
That was my first month.
Whoa.
Play it again.
No.
Damn it,
Giants 4-1
again.
Victory at AT&T thanks to a 3-run jack off of Brendan Hicks.
Now,
three.
In your defense, I love this one as well because that is absolutely the mistake I would make 10 times out of 10 in that situation. That's absolutely the mistake. You could see that one, right?
Yeah, I usually try to stay away from Jack, 3-run Jack, because then you got to talk about who off whom it was hit, right?
Yeah,
it can be dangerous.
Nice tips.
Lo, this is a big moment for you, is
this
it not?
This is great.
This is the best segment you've ever had.
I'm tired of being the butt of the joke. This is awesome. Keep them coming.
This is a novel who knew.
I got both of that in there.
Keep going. I want more of those.
I don't know what happened.
I want more of those.
It's a Naaman who knew.
Yeah, we got not a Nodi. We can fill a whole show.
There's just so much. You got to be patient.
You got to pace ourselves.
There's best so much record in spring training. Oh, is that me? All right. Hold on. Let's set it up properly. Go ahead. Hit it. Best record in spring training.
Which way did he go?
Tweety Bird. I like that.
There is no spoon.
That's more
that was also when I was trying to do some Matrix thing at one point. All right, let's space them out. Kinda let's not creepy. Overkill the audience here. Let's also try to focus more on Anna. If there's more on Anna in there, we'd really appreciate
let him rip.
That.
Let him fly.
The fans love her. She's universally recognized as the most lovable person on this show.
She is.
What the hell were you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We're talking about the Raiders at 24.
I want you to keep your eye on something. The Raiders are sitting 24, right? And they're in pretty good shape as it pertains to their roster. Anyone know who's sitting 25? Houston Texans. What do the Houston Texans need? What are they rumored to be interested in?
Quarterback.
Boom. Knowing that, with the Raiders at 24, anyone who might want to leapfrog Houston to get in front of them for a quarterback pick who may still be on the board would want to call who?
The Raiders.
The silver and black. You know who you might want to watch for, and this would be interesting. Rival Kansas City. Andy Reid, Alex Smith. Look, let's be honest. Andy's done this before. Had Donovan McNabb use that second-round pick on Kevin Cobb. Philly went nuts when that happened. Nuts. I remember there was no draft in Philadelphia in my entire life that had more controversy coming out of it than the Kevin Cobb pick. None. Not even Mike Mamula. That really worked out. But if Kansas City, what do you do if you're Reggie McKenzie and you've got Andy Reid and the Chiefs on the phone because they know Alex Smith, whether he's your guy or not, it's coming to the end of the line. There are only so many years left. And I think by now, anyone who knows Smith knows he's not a Super Bowl winner. Nice quarterback, not a great quarterback. He's not going to get you there. So maybe you want to look for his heir apparent. Maybe it's DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame. Maybe it's Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech. Maybe it's Davis Webb from Cal. The point being, if Houston needs a quarterback at 25 and the Raiders are there at 24, if you're Reggie and you're getting ready to pick up that phone to phone in your pick and you get a call from Andy Reid, possibly wanting to draft the quarterback you could be going against for the next decade if you screw this up, but he's offering you a bountiful package. What do you do? That's up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
With the second choice in the draft, the San Diego Chargers select quarterback, Washington State University, Ryan Leaf.
Whoa. That one went a few different directions.
That was a good pick.
Especially when Peyton Manning was number one. Do you think Indianapolis was really stretching, was really gnawing at what to do there, Leaf versus Manning, or do you think it was that clear cut? Because back then, you got to remember, now it's easy to laugh. But back then, Leaf was a big dude coming out of Washington State. They had gone to the Rose Bowl. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Big arm. There was a lot to like there.
San Diego traded up from the three spot with Arizona. They swap picks.
Really? I didn't know that.
I'm just looking at it right now. Arizona goes from 2 to 3, and they take Andre Wadsworth from Florida State. And then the Raiders are sitting at 4, and they say, I guess we'll take Charles Woodson. Thank you, Arizona, for going with Wadsworth. Hello, Wadsworth.
Who is the rest of that top 10, if you don't mind?
Curtis Enos, Penn State.
Good God.
He was a good runner at Penn State.
Yeah, well, I mean, he tore apart Oregon in the Rose Bowl, but outside of that, nothing really else ever happened.
Then another bust, Lo. You'll remember this guy, Grant Wistrom, out of Nebraska. He was a monster.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I don't remember him. He was a bust.
And then Kyle Turley goes number 7.
Turley.
Shout out San Diego State. Then Greg Ellis to the Cowboys. Fred Taylor to Jacksonville.
That's a good pick.
And then Dwayne Starks out of Miami goes to Baltimore.
Nice little trip down memory lane. As we get ready for the start of the 2017 NFL Draft, we will have you covered from 3 to 6:45. It'll be Papa, Bonte, and myself over at the Raider Draft Party covering the show. 6:45 is when Oakland A's coverage will begin, so we will transfer over to the stream from 6:45 to 8. The main reason, the Raiders are picking at 24. Here's the question we posed in the previous segment. What would you want to do? 888-957-9570. The Raiders at 24. Got a good team. Real good team. Doesn't mean there aren't players that couldn't help them, but you got a real good team this year. Right as you're about to come up, the phone rings. And it's Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs, right down there at 27. You think to yourself, why would Kansas City be calling us? Well, Houston is at 25. Houston is rumored to be very interested in the quarterback position. They traded Brock Osweiler. They're rolling into the season with, I think, Tom Savage and is it Brandon Whedon? That's not going to win any games. Possibly an 0-16 record right there, despite that defense. So, who's going to be available? Trubisky? Probably not. Deshaun Watson out of Clemson? Maybe. Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech? Maybe. Deshaun Kizer, Notre Dame? Davis Webb, Cal? The point is, Andy Reid at 27 is rumored to be interested in a quarterback. Alex Smith's not getting any younger, and he's certainly not going to win a Super Bowl. Reid's done this before. Donovan McNabb's on TV right now. He had to deal with the Kevin Cobb pick in the second round. Reid had no qualms about looking to the future that year. So this might be the time Kansas City makes their move. They might not want a chance. Houston's taking their pick at 25, so they call the Raiders and they say, Reggie, we offer X, Y, and Z. We'd love to come up to 24 so we can beat the Texans out. Reggie McKenzie has two options. If it's a great deal, he can accept, knowing that the Chiefs might pick a quarterback he has to face for the next 10 years, or he can turn him down. What do you do if it's a great package, though, Lowe?
If it's a great package, Joe, I'm looking at it. But the first thing I'm doing is saying, okay, who's at 25 and who's at 26? And I'm going to make sure right now, if the linebacker from Bama has fallen.
Reuben Foster.
If he's fallen, and I look at the best available linebacker at that position, especially middle, and if he's there, and the guy behind me, if I know for sure that he's not picking him, then I might trade it. But if that linebacker's there, that inside linebacker, either from Florida State or either from, you know, Alabama, if they're there, the best of the best, if they slip, I can't take the chance. I don't care. I'll just say, you know what? No, because I know I have my defense in set. Now I got a middle linebacker that can run, guard the tight end, can make tackles.
He can fly to the football. Reuben Foster is a mover, sideline to sideline guy.
Exactly. And if I know that guy slipped, Joe, then I don't play Russian roulette. I don't slide the dice. I grab that guy. Now, if he's gone and it's a corner and you say I can get corners in the second round, I trade back a couple
pretty
spots.
Pretty deep corner class.
Pretty deep corner class. Then, yeah, I make that. But if my player is there that I am set on, I no dice. But if he's not, I'll make the trade.
Say no, there's no Foster. Say there's no guy you love, but you've got four or five you like.
Right.
And you're going from 24 to 27. So if there's four or five guys you like, someone's going to be there.
Sure.
But here's the thing. If you go ahead and allow them to trade up to 24, if you take Kansas City's call, they come up to 24. Say it's Patrick Mahomes, right? And you slide back to 27, and Patrick Mahomes turns into the next Drew Brees, and you got to face him twice a year for the next decade, you will always be remembered for that. Dibs, how much would that be weighing on your mind if you're Reggie McKenzie and Kansas City wants to come up? Because it's a realistic possibility. Chiefs, Texans, both want quarterbacks. You might pull what New England did years back when they drafted Rob Gronkowski. No one really remembers this, but they slid right ahead of Baltimore because they knew the Ravens wanted them. They slid right up at the last second and grabbed Gronkowski. Think about what could have been for Joe Flacco. Think about what could have been for the Patriots.
Without a doubt, and I think you're in a position, though, with the Raiders coming off such a great year, going to the playoffs and only needing a few pieces, you're not worried about what other teams are trying to do. That being said, I take the best available. I do not trade with a divisional rival and give them the opportunity to jump ahead of Houston. I know you're going to be competing with Houston. You may face them again in the playoffs this year, and you certainly don't want to have them get a quarterback that could help them beat you throughout the course of the next 10 years. But your division rival, first and foremost, you have to deal with twice a year. You do not deal with Kansas City.
And also,
in this spot.
Joe, to that point with Dibs making right now, I got a guy in car I trust. So I'm looking at saying, okay, if they get a guy, we still got the guy. We still think that we got our franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. And you say, if I know that I can get a, if I can fleece them and get a hell of a packet like you're saying, and my linebacker's not there, and I can get that 27th pick and also get maybe either second or a third and get it, then I do it because I think that I have my staple pieces in place, the Oakland Raiders, as far as quarterback, pass rusher, and got some players there for the next 10 years you're going to be able to compete.
Right, but rather than have your Steve Young going up against their Troy Aikman, why not have your Steve Young going up against their whatever?
Brandon Whedon.
Like, yeah, if the team doesn't have a quarterback, we've seen what happens when you don't have quarterback play in this league. By and large, you are relegated to the scrap heap looking for a quarterback the following year. To allow a team to take a shot on a guy that they could build around for a decade plus, that's risky. There was a pick, and I can't give you the exact details because I'm just now remembering this. But I believe it was late 90s, early 2000s. There was a trade. It may have been mid-2000s between the Cowboys and the Giants, I want to say, where the Cowboys allowed, and if I'm remembering this correctly, the Cowboys allowed the Giants to move up five or six spots in the first round to draft a pass rusher that was going to go after their quarterback for the next 10 years. I don't know if it was OC or Kiwanuka or Tuck or however that played out. I'm not sure. But if memory serves me correctly, I remember this trade happening. They're like, oh, look at this. Cowboys and Giants doing a deal. It's like, why would the Cowboys and Giants do a deal with one another? And you see the Giants, if memory serves me, come up and grab a pass rusher. It's like you just allowed them to get a dude that's going to be attacking your quarterback possibly for the next 10 years. That's got to be tough. Got to be real tough if you're in that spot in your Oakland at 24. Hopefully it doesn't come to it. Hopefully you can make your pick or you can do whatever you want, but wow, that would definitely be a factor for me, thinking, man, Kansas City's coming up. You definitely want to know. If I trade with you, who are you taking? Well, it's a secret. Well, forget it. Put an egg in your beard.
Yeah.
I want to know who the pick is before I make the deal. But if you're Kansas City, why would you tell them? Because if it's a quarterback, they might say no dice. Do you lie?
I guess you could try to lie, but they know what you're looking for, and they know why you would want to trade up. And if you get to 24 and Watson's gone and Trubisky's gone, yet Mahomes is still out there, Kaiser's still out there, Webb is still out there, legitimate quarterbacks who you can maybe mold. And if you're Andy Reid and you're the quarterback guru, the Raiders know this, and there's no way you trade with your division rival in this spot because the Raiders don't need a bounty of picks. They need to get number 24 right and continue to stock this team and move forward and not worry about Kansas City.
Travis Schlenk, the assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors, is going to join us to talk about the team's off time, the health of Steve Kerr, what's next for the organization, and how closely will they be paying attention to tonight's Jazz-Clippers game. He's going to join us next, as well as tickets to give away right here. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's give away some tickets, as we do every day at 8:45 when the ticket window opens right here on Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Trivia question as usual, and then we'll get to Travis Schlenk, assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors. You will call 888-957-9570. And if you're first to answer the following question correctly, you'll receive two tickets to see Dierks Bentley with Cole Swindell and John Pardee. Not going to work here anymore anyway. On Sunday, August 20th at Shoreline Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. That's LiveNation.com. Trivia question. What overall pick in the 1993 draft was Lorenzo Lavon Neal? What overall pick in the 1993 NFL draft was Lorenzo Lavon Neal? 50-50, Lo knows the answer.
Yeah, I don't think he knew it earlier, and I had to look it up, and he was in the neighborhood, though. But
this is true.
Lo, prison bet. Could you get it right? Don't answer out loud because you won't want to give it away. Prison bet, could you get it?
I can now since Dibs gave me the answer.
But yes. If we had done it this morning, has it been long enough where it's like, huh, that might trip me up a bit?
I wouldn't take the prison bet. No way.
For this overall draft pick. Hey, whatever.
24 years is a long time, Joe.
It's a long time. It's a long time for an illustrious 16-year career. All right, Travis Schlenk, the assistant general manager for the Golden State Warriors, joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Travis, how are you? It's got to be nice, well, at least for the rest of the team, to have a week off in between playoff series.
Yeah, no, it's good. Let some of those bumps and bruises heal up a little bit and sit and wait and see what we got in the next round.
What's the plan for the guys this week? When you have this much time off, how do you structure your practice schedule and the commitments? These guys, one thing a lot of people don't realize is that they have so many commitments and charitable causes they partake in, where on off days, they don't really have many off days.
No, you know, there's this mandatory set of days. They have to do community service events and things like that. We try to get all that stuff done by the beginning of March. So once we get to March, guys can really focus in and get geared up for the playoffs. So today, I think it's an off day. We'll have guys coming in for treatment, but we don't have practice today. But I think you guys asked me last week, the over-under on golf. That might be kind of high today.
I love it. Where are you playing today, Trav? I know you're going to get out there.
I am not playing today, unfortunately. I wish I was.
Well, in case you need some motivation, I am off at 10, and you and I do live fairly close together, so feel free to hit your boy up. On another note, somewhat lightheartedly, surprising coming from me, but Ty Lue having a watch party for the Cavaliers at his house to kind of take a look at who their next opponent might be. Any plans for tomorrow for the team to see about Clippers Jazz in Game 6?
No, all our guys watch it, but we don't have any organized watch parties, that's for sure. On the road, we will. We'll get a ballroom and stuff like that. But at home, you know, guys have families, and they get sick of each other, Dibs. I mean, it's like you guys. You guys don't want to go to watch games together. You guys see each other every morning.
Yeah, as of 10:01, Fortinbaugh turns a blind eye to all of us.
9:55, Travis. As soon as I send it off, everyone's dead to me.
Travis, how's the health of Steve Kerr and you? And how's he doing? And also the players, you know, kind of been, how's KD? Is he 100% now? And Kerr, what can we expect from him doing this run here?
Yeah, you know, the Steve thing's, it's a tough question. You know, we're just hoping that he gets better as fast as he can. You know, it's been a long process for him. So we just hope for the best with him. As far as Kevin goes, Kevin's been 100% cleared for him. You know, the first game we wanted to keep him around 20 minutes just because, as you guys know, calf strain, it's just one of those things as the muscle fatigues, that's when it's going to, you know, tighten up again. So fortunately, you know, in Portland game 4, we were able to take control early, so it wasn't a big deal to limit his minutes. But now, after, you know, full practice again yesterday, he's been 100% cleared, so there's no restrictions on him. Looking forward to the next round.
Travis Schlenk, the assistant GM of the Golden State Warriors, with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Durant said yesterday, big college football fan, that he thinks the Niners at number 2 should go with Ohio State safety Malik Hooker. How much college football does Kevin Durant watch?
Obviously more than me, because I've never heard of that guy.
Well, you're busy out there trying to find the next Draymond Green.
That's true.
Well, that's pretty much it for me. I didn't have another follow-up on that one.
No, it's good.
I had a joke
in.
Ready, and then I blanked, and it was one of those moments where
I was like, all right, anyone?
That's it. Foreign ball completely spaced. That goes on the blooper reel.
Travis,
anyone want to jump in? I'm still lost.
Sure. Travis, when you look at the assistant coaches and, you know, and does it seem to you that some of the guys play a little more looser on the mic? It's just like they're, you know, Draymond's not afraid to fire up the three. It's just different dynamics when different coaches for different players.
You know, I don't think so. I mean, over the last 2 years, I mean, when Steve has been out with his back issues, you know, our guys have stepped up. It's almost like, you know, it's the same sort of thing when we saw Kevin go down. It's like everyone, you know, just locks in a little bit more. It's like, all right, we're missing one guy and we got to take things a little more serious. And that's what we've seen when Steve's gone out. You know, our guys step up, and, you know, I don't know if you guys, Steph got the game ball for him after game three to give to Steve. So it's, you know, our guys, he's a part, obviously a big part of our team, and we miss him, no doubt, but, you know, he's around, he's talking to Mike every day. So it's not like he's completely gone for sure.
What's the status update of Sean Livingston and Matt Barnes, Travis, because the Livingston injury kind of caught me by surprise. I don't remember any real big, bad incident that caused it. What can you tell us about their ability to come back either Sunday or Tuesday?
Yeah, Sean. So he dove on the floor probably the first time in about 15 years he had done that in one of the games, and he just got his finger bent back. So he's got basically a bone bruise on his index finger. It's the problem that he's had is the swelling's been really bad. So, you know, obviously you could buddy tape it to the next finger, but it's getting better. He's able to shoot now, dribbling. It's just, you know, catching passes is still kind of the issue with it. But this break, he's getting close. You know, I'm sure we'll see him in the next round. And then with Matt, same thing. He had a bone bruise on his fifth metatarsal, and those things just take time. But he went through full practice yesterday, so I assume Matt will be ready to go next week in the second round as well.
As you were describing Sean's finger and buddy tape, our very own Lorenzo Neal was showing me his finger, which goes in three different directions. And now, Trav, he's going to the buddy tape as we speak.
Yeah, I suppose that he got stepped on a few times over his 16-year career.
Travis Schlenk with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. McGee mania, JaVale McGee sweeping the Bay Area. What's it like in the locker room with his 84% field goal percentage so far through the playoffs? Are the players as into this as the fans are?
I don't think so. You know, JaVale's been a big part of what we've done all year long. Obviously, he, you know, Portland was undermanned at the center spot in the first round. So JaVale was able to exploit that. You know, they didn't have anybody that could climb the ladder as high as he can. And he had some great finishes. So, you know, next round, if you, either the Clippers or Utah, obviously they have big men. So we're going to need JaVale to continue to play well for us.
How important was it going forward this season and obviously into the next year as well to get guys like Damian Jones and Patrick McCaw extended minutes? McAdoo got some time as well. Does this carry over into next season and certainly these playoff series as well?
For sure. You know, for those young guys, you know, obviously Patrick's getting very valuable minutes in the playoffs here, which will be great. But, you know, we'll have him in summer league as well. You know, Damian got great minutes in the D League this year, playing, you know, over 30 games down there. You know, for those guys, we've kind of already transferred Damian into his off-season conditioning plan because he's probably not going to get a lot of minutes moving forward in the playoffs. But, you know, we're going to get him ready for summer league, and then, you know, then on to next year when you look at the preseason. So we've already, you know, upped his weightlifting and things like that just to get his body ready for next year.
Trav, what is kind of your involvement now just during the playoffs and just with the guys? Kind of, what is your interaction with the guys? You get down there to the locker, you can come out to practice. I know it's a, hey, what's up, guys? But how in-depth or what kind of conversations you have sometimes with some of these individuals?
I mean, a lot of people don't know this, Lowell, but I'm the most important person in the organization. I pretty much tell those guys how to act and what to do on the court every day. No. Obviously, during the playoffs, you know, we're around all the time. We're there. We're not the coaches. I mean, you obviously played in the NFL, and the front office is around, and you have interactions with the players. But just more, it's very much more on a micromanaged level than it is on the direct level with the players and things like that. So we're there just to assist in anything we need, but certainly not there to tell them how to play or anything like that. That's not our jobs.
Travis Schlenk, the assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Travis, as always, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Good luck in the next round. We look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Sounds good, Trav. 10:05, Travis. I'm off. 10:05. Let's get out there. Let's go. He's
What's
gone?
With the extra 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's why he's...
A little extra credit?
Yeah, you know, by the time you wrap up all the things we got to wrap up here, Joe.
10:05. You know. Yeah. Travis Schlenk, like all Warrior guests, they always sound better if you're wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors, and 95.7 The Game. I wanted to ask this question, but I'm not sure he could weigh in on it, so I just figured I'd save it for content afterwards. ESPN laid off over 100 people yesterday.
Wow.
And a lot of them were big-name people you see on TV. John Buchagross, Andy Katz, Carl Ravitch has been asked to take a role back, right? Ravitch is still with them, but his role still. It was a hammer, a bloodbath of a day at ESPN. Disney handed down a mandate. Stop the bleeding. You spend too much money. Part of that traces to TV rights, where they are paying over $1 billion a year to carry NBA games. Huh. The NBA, players like LeBron James want to rest. They want to take nights off, Saturday night marquee games. So the advertisers aren't necessarily interested in dumping a ton of money into the B-squads. As a result, ESPN's losing money and people end up losing their jobs. Now, the NBA's got this TV deal on lock for about 5 more years, I believe, into early somewhere around 2022 or so. But what do you think's going on behind closed doors if you're Adam Silver and you're the union? Because you got to be looking around thinking salaries are at an all-time high. The salary cap, which was supposed to go a little bit higher than it did, is booming. We're about to pay guys like Steph Curry $40 million a year. This TV money is not going to be there in 5 or 6 years. This is a big sign of things to come as it pertains to the world of sports media.
All sports, yeah. All the leagues need to take a look at what's going on with ESPN and the fact that so many people are cutting the cord now, and these rights fees that leagues have been getting paid are certain to go down, not only in basketball, but all sports. And so even though it was 100 people who lost their jobs yesterday, which stinks, the broader story, the broader issue is what's going to happen to the big wellspring of money in pro sports.
10,000 subscriptions a day ESPN is losing. So you're paying over $1 billion a year for the NBA. You're paying a boatload for Monday Night Football, college football rights, all that. And that's where the money-making is, Dibs, if I'm not mistaken, right? Within the games and the shoulder programming of the games.
Yeah.
But then you've got all this other programming, and you pay guys like Stephen A. Smith, what, $5, $6 million a year. That's why Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless and Jason Whitlock and all those huge salaries jumped to Fox. Fox decided now's the time to make a move. We can spend. ESPN's cutting back. Bottom line, though, what's going to happen to our streaming rights moving forward? Clearly, you are looking around saying, I don't want to pay this much for cable anymore. I'm not interested in shelling out $150, $200 a month when I could pay $7 for Netflix and then another $8 for Amazon and Hulu, and I can get everything I need. When does streaming jump into the sports rights game? Because you got Amazon paying, what, $50 million for Thursday Night Football this year?
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming.
And you're right, Joe, and everyone jumps on with the Bleacher Report. They can get their updates. Everything's really quick, really fast. So I think you're right. We're in a different era.
More on this if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. But for right now, it's time for the 4K a day National Cash Contest. Text the code word SHEEP, S-H-E-E-P, SHEEP, to 72881 before 15 past the hour for your chance to win $1,000. Be listening every day at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. for a chance to win $1,000. Text message and data rates may apply. The NFL draft and what's going on at number one. Not as much a lock as you may think. That's coming up in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.